This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
I will say I was a little uncomfortable with some of the vitriol towards the young lady, the accuser in the AJ Johnson, Mike Williams case. Not saying that I was not upset that 4 years had passed, and you know, with the involvement of Dre Bowles and you know everything that I've heard about kind of her history and with you know, players on our football team and her history with AJ Johnson, I was not happy. I guess what I'm trying to say is I feel like her being embarrassed, her regretting that, you know, what went on in that room should have been sniffed out by the professionals. Should have been sniffed out. Okay, we have this evidence. We got somebody trying to destroy their cell phone. We got folks trying to, you know, not allow social media to be involved in the case. If we are not allowing these things to be involved to find the truth, then it smells a little fishy here. I think I'm more upset at the grown-ups here, the professionals that just tried to ride this thing to trial and tried to convict these young men when the evidence was fishy from the get-go. And so if I had any vitriol, it wouldn't be towards a young lady, even though I'm so disappointed that a young lady could make these accusations. And regardless if the accused is innocent or guilty, it still affects them negatively moving forward. Now, think about Von Pearson and how opportunities were stripped away from him simply because of an allegation that came out to be untrue. Von was not allowed to work out with his team. He was not allowed to eat with his team. And he's basically treated like a criminal. While they were trying to find out the truth, and they found out the truth, and then they just, hey, come on back. I would feel a little funny about that. Like, you know me, you know my character. I said I did not do that, but you're still treating me like I did something. It would be hard for me to just jump back on and act like everything is cool in Von Pearson's case, to be honest. Very hard for me to do. But Von did that. He came back and, you know, finished his last year. And, you know, now he's playing arena ball. But for AJ, being a senior, and this happening towards the end of the year, I understand you don't want a James Franklin situation where there's accusations made that he was involved and that he helped cover things up. Again, those were accusations. And you know, you want to distance yourself just in case the kid is guilty. But, man, it's – I'm still numb to my reactions. I really don't know. Should I be mad? Should I be happy? Should I be sad? Should I be, you know, upset? I mean, it's just so much crazy stuff that happened during that night, and so many layers, like the Dre Bowles layer. Like, have we ever heard anything like that? Like the whole Dre Bowles part of the story, where, man, he really, 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 really liked this girl. And he was involved. Encouraged a phone call to the police. And testimony that stated that he was in the background telling the officers to say you got raped. I mean, this dude was a teammate. And then the team just kind of responding to him in a negative way. Because the team had knew the history between AJ and this girl. And I can identify with that a little bit, because when you're on a team, it's like a one big family. And you kind of know who your teammate is messing with. Okay? You know your teammate's girlfriend, and sometimes you know the girl that your teammate is messing around with. And then if you have a girl that's been with a few different football players, then the team pretty much knows, okay, this girl has been with different football players. So you know. And so when you have a player that comes in, and let's say he's new, and he likes this girl who's maybe a year or two older than you are, and she's had her experiences there. Your job as a teammate is to let the young guy know, like, hey, man, this girl's been here 2 years. A lot of your teammates have already, been with her. You probably want to avoid that situation. And, golly, this is so weird.
This is a tough conversation. I feel bad for Dre Bowles because here's why I feel bad for him. Because if I remember correctly, when he encouraged the young lady to call the police, she was hysterically crying and telling him that she had been raped. And
he says.
Well, and didn't she say as well?
Yeah,
I believe she got up there and said the same thing.
She said, but these guys are found not guilty they feel like she didn't tell the truth.
Okay? I'm going to choose to believe Dre Bowles because he got up there on the stand under oath.
And, you would hope he was telling the truth.
And I would think that the son of a police officer would not perjure himself. So I'm going to choose to believe Dre Bowles. And if I put myself in his shoes in this situation. If a female is telling me that she was taken advantage of, I'm going to encourage her to call the police.
Yeah, me too.
Regardless of if they're my teammates, regardless if it's a family member, regardless if it's a best friend, I'm going to encourage her to call the police.
Because that's the right thing to do.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. And so taking Dre Bowles for his word under oath, I feel bad for him in that sense because now people are looking at him sideways as turning on his teammates and also taking up for somebody who, looking back on now in hindsight, was under the court of law, was lying.
Yeah, the twist is that a lot of the guys told Dre Bowles about this young girl's history with other guys on the team. And so it comes across as, man,
you're bitter.
Exactly. You're just trying to get your teammate in trouble over a girl. You know, you hear the saying, bros before ladies. You know what I'm saying? But in certain cases, it's the right thing over the wrong thing to do all the time. That's the way it should be. There's a right thing to do. There's a wrong thing to do. And Dre initially seemed like he did the right thing, but you have to understand that backstory too,
right?
And that history with Dre and this young lady and some of his teammates. There was a time when, Dre was publicly humiliated for his love of this girl while she was doing other things with other guys, and you wonder if Dre, got back at them and. I'm just only explaining why there was backlash from his teammates.
Right.
Because it appears, if you just on the outside looking in, like, oh, my God, these teammates are terrible. I mean, Dre's just trying to do the right thing, and they're just jumping on him just because he told on one of the teammates when it was, it was the truth of what happened. So you have to understand the backstory there. Now that the guilty verdict is over and it's done with, what now? Like, what do we do now? Like, do we just say, okay, young lady, go live your life?
Wait a minute.
Or do we say, no, young lady, you need to be held accountable and responsible if you, in fact, change someone's life because of an accusation? Because deep down in your heart, and she testified and said that she didn't say no. And she said, well, I guess if I didn't say no, I guess it'd be hard for them to know that I didn't want to do it.
That was in her testimony.
In her testimony.
She said
it's like,
that she did not expressly say no.
Yeah. So if you didn't say no,
how are they supposed to know?
How are they supposed to know? And so these men are found not guilty, what are we doing to the young lady to make sure that false accusations are not made in the future? Because every time that we have the Reuben Foster situation where a girl falsely accused Reuben Foster of something and it comes out to not be untrue, not to be true, and then this, I think it really hurts and hinders the real victims, the real rape victims.
Absolutely.
It discouraged them to come out and speak because they're going to be ridiculed. They're going to be poked at. They're going to be tossed to the side. Yeah, they, you know, they won't be. No one will believe them and only think that, you know, it's a money grab or you're just a, you know, a cleat chaser. We have to make sure that this process has integrity when it comes up again and there's truly a rape victim. That's all I'm saying. And then you have AJ. Like, what is he doing? He was very classy, didn't badmouth the accuser at all. But is he going to take legal action against the accuser? Because he is an NFL draft pick. I mean, he's going to the NFL.
If there is a I guess what you call it, a preponderance of evidence, I don't know if that's the right legal term, but if there's enough evidence to suggest that this was, you know, a false accusation, there are definitely lanes of civil action that you could take in terms of trying to get your restitution. Because, I mean, we already mentioned it earlier, in one way, I mean, this girl came away with, what was it, $2 million or something? Part of the $2 million settlement.
Yeah, it was, they came out with some chump change.
I forget how many.
Because it was a couple different girls.
Yeah, it was.
The girl that was involved with Alexis Johnson.
Six or seven.
Yeah, I mean, they split all that. Then you had court, yeah. You had play your lawyer, so I mean, they didn't get
But she got money out of it, point being.
She got money, yeah.
And do you, if you're AJ and Michael, do you look at that and say, that's not fair, I'm going to, there's enough here for me to take legal action against you, and I'm going to try to get that back. I don't see that happening. If I'm either of these guys, I probably just don't ever want to even talk about this.
I just want to move forward.
Yeah, I just want it to be in my past and have it be gone.
But
you never know.
Maybe, like, if you're Michael Williams, because Michael Williams didn't have the football future that A.J. Johnson had. But even, like, forget about what could have been for A.J. Johnson. How about going forward? Yep. Last week, Swain mentioned to me that he was out in the community and somebody who owns a business told him that he couldn't hire him now, even after if AJ is found guilty, just because of what could have been.
Yep.
Hurts them going forward. Yeah,
it would be tough because of the nature of the job. It would be tough to have that guy like a face.
Correct.
You know, of the company.
So it could affect Michael and AJ going forward on getting jobs, even though they were proven by the court of law not guilty. I mean, they could struggle to find jobs going forward. It's kind of like the Drake Schiano thing. Charlie, you mentioned it all the time when your problem with Schiano was that what could have been.
Yeah.
That's kind of – some people, if Charlie's owning a business one day, Charlie could view it. If AJ or Michael comes to Charlie to find a job, Charlie could be like, what could have happened that night? Yeah. What if they really did it?
Let's get to the phones and let's get to Pete. Pete, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, guys.
Hey, Pete. How you doing, man?
Doing well. Jason, I want to thank you for making the starting comments you did about being careful with social media and what we do to all these young people's lives, including the young lady. There's only a couple of people in the world that know the whole truth and the real truth. And then the court system got involved. And that really is where any blame, if there is any, needs to lie. Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting the hypocrisy you see on social media. If these were just two regular African-American gentlemen that weren't UT football players, we'd see a whole different side of the coin. I really believe that. And I'm glad they were found innocent if they're innocent, because that's what the court system is there to do. But a lot of these fans are ripping this young lady, and even the ones that are ripping the justice system are the same. Some of these same fans are the ones that are ripping NFL players for protesting. And the irony of that is these NFL players are protesting this exact topic, that the justice system for African Americans in particular is skewed and flawed. And so I just kind of want to point that out, that, you know, we get on our fandom and we want to get on social media and we're quick to judge without really thinking through the whole process. So I'm happy for the young men that played for our university that they were found innocent. It does appear, based on some of the information that's leaking out, that it was a flimsy case. Mm-hmm. But just keeping in mind that young lady has a family and a life, and even if she made a mistake, to if it was your daughter, you would probably want the process to play out. And for those young men, they were very blessed, and I think their status helped them in this case, because that they, I think the court system in general is skewed, and I just wanted to kind of point out how social media can kind of jump all over the place. And these same people criticizing the justice system now are the same ones that would criticize the NFL players for standing up for this exact topic.
Hey, I can't disagree with you there. You know, one thing I was disappointed in is that when these guys were found not guilty, you know, you had media using their mugshots. They're not guilty. I mean, they're not guilty, so why are we using their mugshots to put out information about them moving forward? I didn't like that. I wasn't a big fan of that at all. Pete, I can't disagree with you. I mean, I look at it's really easy to jump to conclusions when someone is accused of something. And, you know, Tennessee, you know, fans, most of them probably believed AJ early because of his status. Now, I'm not too scared to think that probably was the case. But you also have a ton of folks who say, innocent or guilty, football or not, you know, if you do the crime, you got to do the time. And I said that from day one. I was hoping that AJ was not guilty. But if he was, hey, man, you got to go. You got to go. I don't think Pete said anything there that was wrong. Hey, you might have a different view. You may want to debate it. That's fine. But sitting in my chair, I don't think that that Pete's wrong. I think that is why.
I agree with Pete.
I think that's why the players are protesting, and I think a lot of people are losing sight of the reason why. And I think the protest got hijacked, but that is the reason why. It's fairness across the board, and unfortunately, it's not fair across the board when it comes to the justice system. And that's why these guys are protesting. Let's get to Vol Nation. Vol Nation, good morning.
Good morning, family. How y'all doing now?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm just ready for some football.
Man, you and me both.
I'm excited or happy for these young men being able to be cleared. You know what I'm saying? Like you mentioned before, you know, I've got 2 daughters. And we had this conversation years ago that, you know, if they did it, then they need to be, you know, prosecuted with the full extent of the law and serve time and things of that nature. But something in our system has to change when we walk through the situation and you find that they're innocent, especially when you find that the person lied. You know what I'm talking about? And somehow they need to do something where they are now, since they've been persecuted and drugged through the mud and all this other stuff, and they're going through all this stuff and lost all this money and everything else, to fully reinstate them to society. So that, you know, they won't be able to probably get back everything, but they need to be able to get back something. They need to be able to use their education to be out there and have a life, you know what I'm saying? Because basically they've gone through a process that you would hate anybody to go through. And then they've come out on the other end, but it's still like they're damaged goods. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
absolutely.
And it's a shame. Now, you know, me, myself, you know, I tell my daughters all the time, never put yourself in a vulnerable position. But I've trained my daughters differently. I told them this type of activity is only for marriage.
Yes.
This is why. Because when you do things outside of the covenant relationship of marriage, anything can happen. You know? Everybody gets in their feelings, was that Drake, his new song, Everybody in Their Feelings or whatever. Everybody gets in their feelings,
yeah,
and all of a sudden things go sideways, right? And so this is why, you know, this is a bad deal for young men and young women, men and women in general, to have this type of relationship outside the covenant relationship of marriage. Because when you do this, then people are hurt, and just like Dre Bowles, you know, it does put him in a bad light. You know, now it's almost like Bush Jones might have been right.
I mean, that's why I said when we were talking about it in the first hour, I said that the real shame of this is that it never had to happen. If these kids were just smarter with the situations that they put themselves in. And of course, I mean, this is not out of the ordinary from a lot of stuff that goes on in colleges in terms of,
right.
But at the same time, you know, like exactly like you're saying, if you just put yourself in situations always where you know these things can't happen, then they're not going to happen. But
right. And then what? They have to also realize that they're targets. You know, yeah. Here you are. You got a senior here. He's got to be wise enough to realize that, hey, I'm a senior. You know, I'm hot right now. I could be going to the league. You got a lot on the line. You know what I'm saying? And so you have to be much wiser in your choices and decisions about what you're doing and what you involve yourself in, because it could jeopardize your career and the opportunities that you have before. So it's a great learning lesson for them, and yeah, hopefully it's a learning lesson for a lot of people.
Yeah, the college scene, you know, you hear about going out, having a good time, drinking, and then, you know, going to someone's room and boom, you know, that's in my world, that's crazy. But what was going on in that room that's revolving around this trial, mm-hmm, that's something that I'm not comfortable with. I've never even had the desire to engage like in that way. I'm sorry, I don't want to be in another room with another dude like that. So I mean, that was just a little uncomfortable. I'm just saying, like, I don't want to see you, man. Like, I'm sorry. That's a little uncomfortable. So like, a lot of people kind of heard some of the details of revolving the case and was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, morally, man, they were disappointed morally. That's not normal in college. I'm sorry. That's not normal. That did not happen.
Well, on a daily basis. I guess I mean shenanigans with women and sex, and you know, that's now, like you said, this particular act is a little more on the extreme end, but you know,
I just wanted to clarify
girls and guys.
Clarify for those that may have heard it a different way. So.
Hey, one other thing, and I'll take this off the air, man. Now back to football.
Okay.
You know, it was great being able to come in this morning and listen to the Clemson station, and they were talking about their recruits, but they seem to have left off how Tennessee beat them out for a recruit that actually is their brother's on the team. You know what I'm saying? And that was Tyrus, isn't it? Tyrus Fields. And, I mean, he's a four-star. And then they had a guy actually tweet them because they were talking about how great their class is this year. And they've got 12 three-stars on their team. Now, I'm not saying anything about three-stars because we understand that, you know, a three-star evaluation process, and it's about putting your eyes on the kids and stuff like that. But it started making them thinking about their position, you know, how they're not rattling off these five-stars like they were, even though they have a few. You know what I'm saying? They got some five-stars. They got some four-stars. But it wasn't like, you know, maybe one of those major recruiting classes they've had in the past or whatever. And they start kind of debating on their class and where they are and things of that nature. But you guys mentioned something the other day about having a class or what's a successful formula. And I'll never forget when Nick Saban first started, he said, all you really need is great coaches. Because what happens is you're going to end up, if you have a great squad and you put a great product on the field, if you have a few of the prima donnas, a few of the five stars, you know, a handful of four stars, and a boatload of three stars that you believe in. And he said, you can cultivate those guys and put a product on the field and be successful. And he did that. Now, of course, you know, he can do whatever he wants. He's probably got more five stars or four stars than he does three stars. But, you know, I'm just saying, I'm trusting the process. I'm trusting Pruitt and their eyes and their evaluation and what they're seeing, you know, on tape and when they're going to the high schools and when they're going to these camps. And I believe the product on the field we're going to be very pleased with. And you can see how well they're doing in recruiting. I'm excited about the 2019 class, 2020 class. Going to be even better. Mm-hmm. And I'm even excited. I had a friend, Caleb, I'm giving a shout out to you today. Caleb got us some tickets for the Charlotte game. Me, my son, and him, we're going to be hooked up. We're going to go down there to Charlotte, and we're going to see game one of Tennessee versus West Virginia. I'm hoping we bring them some good luck.
and
put our eyes on the prize, and we get a victory, and we come out and be excited about it that following Monday, man. So.
Well, Vol Nation, thank you so much for the phone call. Really, really appreciate it. And Tennessee is doing a good job in recruiting. You can overreact one way or the other, but Tennessee is doing a good job. If we were not, I would not say we was doing a good job. We are doing a good job. Are other teams doing a better job? Yeah, there's other teams that's doing a better job right now as we look, you know, at July. But Tennessee is doing a good job and has a really great opportunity to close very, very strong. I will just say that. Very good chance. Next on the hotline is Trevor. Trevor, good morning.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Trevor, how you doing, man?
Hey, doing well. How you guys?
Great, man. How are you? I mean, what's on your mind? Good. Sorry about that.
No, that's good. I just want to talk about, you know, like you're saying, a lot of these people, you know, stargazers, if you want to call them that. I don't have as much of a problem with it simply for the fact that, you know, Jeremy Pruitt, he's been in winning programs before. He's been at Florida State, you know, Alabama. people are going to try to tell me that, you know, he doesn't know what a, you know, what a championship caliber player looks like.
Exactly.
I mean, to me, he knows what a championship player looks like. He's not going to offer a guy to come play for University of Tennessee if he doesn't think that they can help him win the championship. Simply for the fact that if he's bringing these guys in and personally wanting to work them out and see them for himself, I put more stock in that than, you know, relying on these star ratings. I feel like that's what Butch Jones did a lot more, was he just kind of was wanting to chase guys for the star ratings, make himself look a little better. But if Pruitt was offering these guys without personally seeing them, working them out, it might bring me a little more hesitancy. But
me too.
Simply for the fact that he's been around championship caliber players, you know, Mick Fitzpatrick, Jalen Ramsey. I mean, he knows what good players look like. So.
As competitive as Pruitt is, and we've heard about his competitive nature from stories dating back to his time in Georgia, and I said this last week, hearing the details about his riff with Mark Richt made me like him even more, made me even more confident that he could be successful here at Tennessee. Hearing that, knowing that, you really think that he would recruit someone that's not going to help him beat Georgia, help him beat Florida, help him beat Alabama? These are the players that he thinks he can win with. And you can be disappointed that Georgia's doing what they're doing, getting good players. I get that, because that's like the, you know, that's like being a neighbor and seeing your neighbor get a brand new lawnmower or brand new car or RV. I mean, hey, it's natural to look over and go, man, your grass looks good. Let me go fertilize my grass. Let me go make sure my grass looks good. That's natural, but you still got to keep things in perspective. You have nice things too. We have really good players committed to Tennessee too, and there's other things that have to go into just recruiting good players. You have to develop them. You have to make sure they stay out of trouble. You have to make sure that the team plays together, that they're not selfish, and that you have infighting. These are all things now that you have to do after you get really good players. So it's not over. I mean, the results are not set in stone after you recruit really good players. There's still work to do.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Now, I'll say this and I'll get off here, but you know, going back to the guy, who was the guy last year that Tennessee picked up on and went to Florida State late in the recruiting process after they kind of discovered him?
Man, you know what? Every time we try to bring that kid up, we always forget him, because it took us forever. It took us everything to even, you know the kid when he was committed to Tennessee, and then he just flipped, and then we kind of forgot about him. But we'll pull it up right now, we'll tell you. But the wide receiver from Georgia.
Yeah. But my point was, you know, it's still early in the recruiting process. You got a lot of these guys that still haven't really been discovered, like the guy from we just picked up from the Mid-State. Guy looks like a a player, a dog.
I mean, you talking about the defensive tackle?
Yeah. The guy had the profile pick with like the big chain around his neck.
Yeah, grown
yeah,
man.
Yeah, grown man.
Yeah,
so I mean, you know, there's still plenty of time for these guys to get, you know, they're going to get reevaluated and bumped up. So, I mean, I think it's a little early to start acting like, you know, we're panicking and we're getting out recruited. So that's all. So you guys have a good one.
Thank you, man. It's just so early right now. And Ben, you said that Jordan Young was the receiver that Tennessee got in and late on in Georgia.
Simmons is the D tackle he was referring to.
And then Jordan Young went to Florida State late in the process. Maybe he was a Florida State fan growing up. And that was what was enough to flip him to Florida State, even though Tennessee is a school that gave him the love first from a big time program. So that stuff happens. I will tell you this, Brian Maurer is a perfect fit for Tennessee personality wise. He reminds me a lot of Casey Clawson. You gotta have confidence, you gotta have a certain swag. It's one thing to have confidence. It's another thing to have a certain type of swag that allows you to get along with some of your teammates. Have your teammates who are from different cultures, different backgrounds, different part of the country to say, man, yeah, this kid is different. He looks different than me. He's raised differently than me. But, man, he got some swag. And this is how relationships formulate. This is how chemistry is built. Brian Maurer is going to be able to get along with his teammates in a huge, huge way, man. The dude is super cool. I got a chance to bump into him out and about, I think it was Friday, and met him, lot of swag, a lot of confidence, but very humble as well. He's gaining weight, rocket arm. They are building this class together with their players. There's a group chat. He's trying to recruit players left and right to play with him. The recruiting is going very well, I'm telling you. And it's only going to get better from here to National Signing Day. So just relax, folks. It's all good. Swain Event, stay with us.
Hour 3 of the Swain Event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
VFL's Jason Swain and Todd Kelly here with our Men on Football and Smoothie segment. Let's discuss some of our favorite smoothies and how they impact our lives. TK, man, tell me which smoothie comes to mind when you think about playing defense.
Swaino, the Peanut Butter Power Plus and the Power Punch Plus provide the energy needed to make plays every time they take the field. Then you have the Gladiator and the Hulk, nutrition every dominant player has to have. Bottom line, everyone wants to be a dominant player. Now, Swain, you tell me about the offensive side of the ball.
TK, it's simple. You always score with Smoothie King. The shredder personifies what we are going to do to opposing defenses. The berry punch and activator will light up the scoreboard. And in case we need to go into overtime, the pure recharge will put us over the top for the win.
Swaino, you know I love football and Smoothie King. I'm a VFL, a Smoothie King for life. The chocolate gladiator and the chocolate shredder with the scoop of peanut butter, oh, that's my go-to smoothie. They get a chest bump all day.
Yes, sir. This concludes our Men on Football and Smoothie King segment for today. Don't forget the Sip by Sip program. Use Smoothie King as a meal replacement 5 or more times a week, and you'll feel and see the difference. Smoothie King, the healthy alternative to fast food. Delicious and nutritious. TK.
Don't forget the peanut butter. Yeah, boy.
Gentlemen, when it comes to health and quality of life, there are numbers every man needs to know, including our testosterone number. I recommend going to Low T Center. They make it quick and easy to get your levels checked, and it's covered by most health insurance. Low T levels can make you feel tired and grumpy. It can raise your cholesterol, cause weight gain, and loss of muscle mass. Low T Center's physicians specialize in treating low T in men. Listen to me here. They know men's health and are reinventing men's health care. Call 865-392-1388 or go to lowtcenter.com.
It's Christmas in July at Better Mattress. Better Mattress has teamed up with Home Depot, and with select purchases, you can get a free Weber grill or choose a free adjustable base or a free headboard footboard while supplies last. Better Mattress has brands you know like Tempur-Pedic and Sealy, plus the brand I love, the Better Mattress brand, handcrafted in East Tennessee. Go to Better Mattress and get a free adjustable base, free headboard footboard, or free Weber grill while supplies last. 6 area locations, bedrmattress.com.
Do you have cracks in your foundation? A wet basement or a nasty, leaky crawl space? Our listeners have heard about them on the Swain Event for over a year, and now it's time to make the call. Give B-Dry Waterproofing and Foundation Repair the opportunity to fix your home's problem. Since 1958, that's right, nearly 60 years, B-Dry has been solving basement, crawl space, and foundation problems throughout the country. B-Dry only uses high-quality materials from reputable manufacturers. They back their installations with some of the best warranties in the industry to provide homeowners with added peace of mind. They are truly an A-plus company. Whenever you start experiencing a wet basement, leaky crawl space, or a cracked foundation, remember these three words. Better call B-Dry. Reach out to B-Dry today. Day at 865-662-5238 to schedule your free appointment. That's 865-662-5238. Remember, better call B-Dry.
All right, team, listen up. It's tailgating time again in Tennessee. But most importantly, team, you're going to need to refi that tailgate and the truck it's attached to. With a refinanced auto loan with Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union with their Got That promotion, they'll give you up to $500 for your debt.
Are you serious, coach?
That's right, Johnny. Alcoa 10 will pay you up to $500 for your debt. Now, let's get out there and spread the word. Say it with me. Alcoa 10. Alcoa 10. Alcoa 10.
ATFCU is an equal housing lender.
At some point in your life, you're going to need an attorney. You need a guy like Jerrica Steele with the law firm of Butler, Vines, and Babb. Jerrica Steele is East Tennessee born, and he understands what giving his all truly means. To Jared, every case is big and every client is important. He will aggressively push your case to make sure you are quickly paid every dollar that you deserve. Give Jared Castile a call, 865-244-3933, and talk with him directly. His office is located at 2701 Kingston Pike. So if you've been injured in a car wreck, let Jared Castile and Butler, Vines, and Babb fight for you.
For a replay of each day's Swain Event TV, like us on Facebook.
So we learned during the break that, not really during the break. We knew because of Ben's Twitter account that he went to the Braves game. I guess he wanted to see a real organization play a little baseball, so he decided to go to the Braves game.
I can't tell what that dig was at because there's no way that was a dig at the Yankees.
I know, I'm just kidding, because the Yankees are the gold standard in baseball. But I mean, I would understand that coming from like a Cardinals fan or like a Red Sox fan or you know, Giants fan. You know, Giants won the World Series a couple times there. But from a Rangers fan?
Mm-mm. Well, here's the deal.
You're not even the most popular.
The Rangers have played in a World Series more recently than the Yankees have. So
The Yankees have won a World Championship.
That's true.
Since last time the Rangers have. And yeah. The Rangers aren't even the most recognizable Rangers in the United States.
Who, the New York Rangers?
The New York Rangers are 100% more recognizable than the Texas Rangers.
Come on. The hockey team?
In New York City?
New York City?
I mean, Texas, the...
I mean, I don't think it's like leaps and bounds. The Rangers...
The Fort Worth, Dallas area has a population that's close to the population of Manhattan.
I think the hockey Rangers are more recognizable than the baseball Rangers. And that's not the knock on...
They've been around for longer, that's true. But I just because of the popularity of hockey. And I love hockey.
Aren't the Rangers one of the original six, weren't they?
I believe they are, yeah. I don't know that they were called the Rangers originally, but
they had a New York team.
Them, Toronto, the Canadians.
All the anyways, yeah. There's your hockey talk for the summer.
I know, right? going to the text box, Leo from Harden Valley says, I was in Atlanta last week for work, and the guys on 680 The Fan were talking about Pruitt and Rick. The Vols find themselves comfortably in the mind of Georgia fans. P.S. Georgia sucks.
Well, that's what I was going
to ask. Pollock is a whiner, and Murray sucks is what Leo from Harden Valley says.
That's what I was going to ask Vol Nation.
Message.
Because it seems like every time Vol Nation calls in, he's talking about Clemson stations talking about Tennessee. So I want to know, why are Clemson stations always talking about Tennessee?
I don't know. I wouldn't if I was up there.
They don't have anything that literally don't have any correlation
except
for Amari Rodgers and T. Higgins.
Yeah.
But. A lot of recruiting battles between Tennessee and Clemson, but that's – otherwise, I have no idea why you'd be talking about UT.
Yeah, we lost some other battles to Clemson too, but the guys from right here in our backyard, that hurts. But if I'm Clemson, why am I talking about Tennessee? I mean a whole other stratosphere from Tennessee right now. South Calculate Vol says, justice system equals how good of a lawyer you can afford. That's a
– And see, this is where I – was it Pete where he called in? And it's a whole can of worms to talk about the Anthem stuff. Just when I look at that, the justice system, it's far, far more than – I mean, I'm sure there are racist people in the justice system, but the biggest problem when it comes to the courts strictly is if you're rich and you can get a good lawyer, you got a much, much better chance of getting off than somebody that's poor. That to me is just such a giant.
That's
problem.
Correct, but let's not sit here and say that is the only, you know, thing that's inconsistent with the justice system.
There's plenty of problems
that
but.
We are 100% not going to involve race. I mean, let's not sit here and be naive to think
that
does not factor into the criminal justice system a little bit. It could be 10%, 25%, 50%, 75%, but let's not sit here and act like it is zero.
No.
Class is a part of it. There are examples. I'm not going to go through it today because I'm trying to keep this thing as sports as much as possible. But there are examples of how class is just not part of it. Okay? If you want to reach out to me offline, I can show you examples.
That's okay? A conversation to have.
We're not going
to
do it. We're not
on the show.
Yeah, we're not going to do it on this show because I like to keep this thing sports as much as possible and away from politics. Okay? But I do pay attention to everything that goes on, and I do bookmark and save a lot of stories that go on for, in case I got to use some examples off the air. So, anyways, South Kakalak, pretty much said same thing about money and all that stuff. Josh in Tennessee says, guys, it should be that they say yes, not that they did not say no. Anyone could be too scared to say no. But that does not mean that they wanted to do it. You have to stop saying that people make stuff up. Less than 2% of all cases come from a standpoint that the person is making stuff up. And then the parentheses says FBI's sexual assault statistic. The thing that was so shaky about the testimony and the charges brought against AJ and Mike Williams is, You had so many cracks in the case even before it went to trial, with the phone being discarded. We're gonna sit here and call AJ Johnson an animal when you had previous relationships with this animal?
Yeah, that's something that Josh is not taking into account. According to some of the testimony here, is that she had relations with AJ in the past. She had said yes in the past. I mean, he's saying she needs to say yes instead of just saying no, which is fair.
And we're talking about that particular moment in that room, because you can say yes, 9 out of 10 times, but if you say no that one time, no means no.
Absolutely.
Does not give you green light. So we understand that, but her testimony is her words, and I'm paraphrasing here, is that she said she had an opportunity to tell them no, and she did not, and she could see how they didn't know that she did not want to do that. And so, with that testimony, it just seems like they just had a really weak case against AJ Johnson and Mike Williams. Also understand, I'm not here because I'm not comfortable throwing vitriol at this young girl. That's not what I'm doing. And I don't feel comfortable doing that. I don't put a lot of the blame on her. Yes, I'm disappointed that she allowed to get to this point. But, again, she went to the police. She said she was raped. And now the grown-ups took that and was like, okay, let's build this case against these two guys. The case wasn't strong enough. So I'm disappointed in the system that it took away 4 years of these young men's lives. I don't have a lot of hate and bad words for the young lady. I just don't. I don't feel it in my heart to have it. So we're trying to be as careful as we can, responsible as we can, and going by things that were said during the court and things that I know kind of surrounding the case and things like that. But I want to be very, very responsible here, because it's easy for everyone to get really emotional about what happened and just say some things that they don't mean, say some things that's unfair, say some things that's just not true. So,
and to just tell you, where we've been saying, she said she didn't say no. This is the exact quote. Prosecutor asked, did you ever tell him no? The accuser responded while testifying in court, I did not want it to happen, but I just didn't say anything, so he would have no way of knowing. So that's how she put it. Do with that what you will.
Let's get to the phones. And Patrick says, accuser testified she said no to Williams, but not AJ. So they were in the room, AJ and her, to have prior relationships. She said no to AJ and Mike Williams having intercourse with her. And so that is what they were trying to prove. All right, let's get to
I just became best friends with this caller, and his name is Caleb, and we are best friends.
All right, Caleb, you must be a Steelers fan or Yankees fan.
That'd be a Yankees fan, yeah.
Ah, surprising there. Good morning, Caleb.
Hey, this is VP Ump from Athens.
What's up, man?
Hey, man. First time caller, so just wanted to get on to ask you a couple questions about recruiting, man. With the commits we've already gotten so far this year, do you think that the early signing period, do you think Pruitt's pushing for a lot of kind of committed so far to sign then, or do you think this goes all the way to February with some of these big-time guys?
I think if you're a coach, you should absolutely push for the players to sign early. You know, like a Wanya Morris, is there any reason for him to push this thing out if he's not anything lower than 100% committed, 100% sure? So you want to push for him to go ahead and be committed, but you don't want to ruin your chances with a really good player by pressuring him to sign early when he's not ready, and then another school is willing to wait, and then he decides to go to the other school. So you have to just treat every situation, delicately, and be very, very, aware of your recruits' wishes and how they want to handle their recruitment. If Wanya Morris is tired of the process and tired of folks trying to flip him, then yeah, you encourage him to go ahead and sign early. But if you have a guy like a Corvarius Crouch or Darnell Wright and they still need some time, you would be crazy to tell him either now or never. This thing is moving on without you. Really? No, you're not going to do that with him. But you can do it with a lower rated guy that you see some talent in him. You see he has elite measurables, but you see that you can get that type of player somewhere else too. And so you can be a little bit more aggressive with that recruit to encourage him to sign early, or they're going to look somewhere else, or his spot won't be open. So I just think it depends on the recruit.
Yeah, there's a lot of times the early signing period, do they have a lot of early enrollees as well, or does it matter if you sign in February? Well, you can be an early enrollee.
It depends on your high school classwork. If you've done everything in your 4 years of high school to qualify to graduate early, enter college in January, then you can do that if you're early signee, or not. I mean, Jalen Hurd was able to come in January, and they didn't have an early signing period at that time. So I just really think it depends on the high school workload. If you tell yourself, I want to be early enrollee as a sophomore in high school, and you're going to summer school and you're taking extra classes, you're doing everything you can in your power to put yourself in a position to enroll in college in January, then that's something that's done. I think that's done at the high school level. I don't think it has much to do with the early signing period.
Gotcha. Well, I appreciate that information.
You're good to hear from.
Hey, man, I'm driving through Pruitt's first stop and first win, coming through Charlotte right now. So
I like
just,
it.
Just head back down to Georgia. So just wanted to give a call in while the show is still on. Don't usually get a chance in the mornings to call in. So big shout out to Vol Nation 2. We're trying to get in contact last night, but didn't work out. But appreciate the show, guys.
Hey, thank you, Caleb. Appreciate that. So Vol Nation was giving props to Caleb for hooking him up with tickets, getting them to Charlotte. That was the Caleb that Vol Nation was referring to.
And my new best friend.
Yeah, new best friend, because you guys are Yankee fans together. 865-255-03, B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline. Ken says, no comparison between Burrell and Mosley. Emmanuel weighed 145 pounds and had 45 to 40 pounds a game. Burrell needs about 10 to 15. He'll easily do that in year one. I agree with Ken there. T-Luck says, those who have watched the new Last Chance U, how would you react to Coach Brown's coaching style? Excuse me. How I would react would be, I want to say, it was the number two, the receiver there,
Carlos Thompson,
who had been with Coach Brown.
He was
three different stops
at Texas Tech, got kicked out, went to a JUCO in California, that didn't work, and then he went to Dodge City, mm-hmm, with Coach Brown from California, mm-hmm, that didn't work. and then was on his literally his last chance at Independence, and then he had to go play D2 or D3 somewhere because he had ran out of eligibility at the D1 level.
Mm. So you're spoiling the show for me now because I didn't know he had to go to D2. Thanks a lot, man.
Oh, my bad. I thought you finished it.
No, I didn't.
You
man.
Said you watched like 7 episodes one day.
I didn't finish it, man. I didn't.
Still,
finish
spoiler alert
it.
For everyone that's
man,
listening.
Thanks a lot, man.
I haven't watched any of it. So.
I'm sorry.
Thanks, man. Thanks a lot, Yankee.
Now I don't have to watch it. Way to go.
Yeah. I learned this in high school because I had a basketball coach that was an a-hole, and. But he was a great basketball coach. Like, he was great. He's one of the best high school coaches in Alabama State history. But he's an a-hole. And he got himself in some trouble. The things that he did. And he's not necessarily my favorite person. I'm probably not his favorite person. Because he thought he can control that whole entire school and get people to only play basketball and not play other sports. And when I came through, we put a little end to that, and it was a controversial time there. But my basketball coach, I'll give you this example, answering a question from T-Lux here, is that he would say things to you that would probably affect your confidence, make you think you're not good enough. He would always be on you. And we had to come to a realization that you just need to listen to what he's saying instead of how he's saying it. Because if you get caught up in how someone is saying something to you, then you can sometimes miss the message. In between the MFers, what is he saying that's going to help you become a better football player? That is just how he communicates. Now, sometimes you have kids who they shut down. But those kids are last chance you. They are there for a reason. They are there because they have not listened to someone using normal language with them. They have not listened. They have not followed directions, either academically. They have not, done the right things. They got themselves kicked off because they got themselves in some legal trouble or they broke some team rules. So obviously, talking to them in a normal way does not work. So now you have to MF them every other word to get them to wake up and understand. So if it takes Jason Brown to use MFing, 76 times in a sentence to get these kids graduated, to get these kids to, D1 or back to college, I think it's 100% worth it. I have no problem with it. If I was in that position, it wouldn't really bother me that much. That doesn't mean I wouldn't say something back, because I probably would at some point. Like, you MFing me 100 times, I'm probably going to MF you at least once or twice back, But that's just the relationship that you sometimes have with a coach. You can kind of go back a little bit and go back and forth a little bit with a coach. If you are playing with effort, if you are playing hard, you care about your teammates, you can argue with your coach. I've done it before. I've argued with Troop before. It wasn't any MFers thrown back and forth. But, we argue. But at the end of the day, it was because we respected each other. We believed in what we were saying. And it was no question on how hard I was going and how no question about how hard he was going. It was just two men who just had different opinion. We voiced our opinion. We moved on. He's the authority, so he wins. I respect that. We move on.
I do think that Coach Brown's style of coaching would not work anywhere else other than a JUCO.
I agree.
I don't think it would work at D1, D2, D3.
Nope.
That only works at a JUCO, and I truly believe it's a product of where he is from, not necessarily something he is choosing to do. He's not doing it to undermine the kids or degrade the kids. He's doing it just because that's where he's from. That's what he grew up on. That's all he knows.
That's what they call each other. MFs.
And,
I mean, it's just.
And like I said this last week, I believe, the difference between Buddy Stevens, who was at East Mississippi, and Coach Brown is that I truly believe Coach Brown is genuine versus where Buddy, he's more concerned about winning a national championship rather than getting the players graduated, moving on to the next level, so on and so forth. And there are plenty of examples that we could go through all day long. So I don't – because Coach Brown is genuine, I don't necessarily like the MF every other sentence, every other word. But because he is genuine with his players and truly cares – about the best thing for them, I kind of give him a soft pass for it.
I've become entertained at how many different ways he uses it. Like, wow, man. You use it in that context? I never heard it used that way before. That's pretty impressive. Like, I've watched Coach Brown to see, man, how many different ways can he use MF-er?
Adjective. It's pretty impressive.
Verb.
It is.
Noun.
How do you make it a noun?
Yep.
Proper noun?
Yep. It's truly impressive the way he can use MF-er so many different times. But those players respond to it. And those players are at JUCO for a reason. So
yeah, that's all that really matters at the end of the day.
I agree with Ben. That's the only place you can use that. Because even the president was like, I mean.
The president was uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean.
And the athletic director.
Yeah, he's like, you know, I mean, we got people coming to the practice and, you know, they hear that. But you haven't won a conference championship since 1987. So which one do you want?
I didn't think they'd ever won one.
The conference championship was 1987, the last time they won one. I was watching this morning.
What episode are you on?
They just beat Coffeyville.
So that's the second to last episode, I think.
Yeah, so do you want to win or do you want your coach to be a pastor or not cuss at all? I mean, sorry, this is how the players respond. They respond to a coach that talks like them. And unfortunately, these young men, this is the way they talk. He signed 32 kids because of who he is. They went from zero to winning a division title there.
And then it's not just kids. I mean, Rakeem Boyd, who was a five-star running back at one point. Kingston Harris, who was a five-star running back at one point. The kid that goes to play wide receiver somewhere. That was already known because I think it says he's a Washington State commit under his thing throughout the entire show. So,
okay.
Calvin Jackson, what's his name?
So many spoilers.
Calvin
Jackson.
It's not a spoiler.
Just spoil it, Ben.
You should have already seen that. So if you miss it, that's on you.
So it's my fault. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's how it is.
You're going to victim blame me, huh?
Yep.
It's been out for a week and a half. How have you not sat down and spent 8 hours of your life?
Because I had strep last weekend. That's why I have an excuse, it's Charlie.
My fault.
Fair.
It's our fault, Charlie. We didn't watch the whole thing. Got it. All right, that's our time for today.
I was just trying to scout Emmett Gooden. I'm trying to cover Tennessee to the best of my ability. Why haven't you watched it, Charlie?
Good flip.
I don't have time.
Good flip.
Oh, please.
There.
You got time to go on vacation, though.
Gotcha. 865-255-03 is the number to the B-Drive Waterproofing Hotline. For Ben McKee, Charlie Burris, for Jason Swain, have a great day. Peace and love. We're out.